The heart is such a thing that Allah Ta'ala has given to us human beings. The heart, that if it is spoilt, and upon its getting spoilt and upon its rectification, is the reflection on the whole deen of a person. If a person's heart is correct, then the person receives the great ni'mas of Allah. Every moment, every second, Allah Ta'ala's grace and mercy rains down on that person, on his heart, on her heart. And if a person's heart is spoilt and there's no islah, no rectification, no purification of the heart, then that person loses out from many, many of the ni'mas of Allah. And you cannot imagine the loss in the dunya, and nor do you realize much in the dunya. The person passes the time, the years, the days, the months, they pass, and he departs from the world. But when that person is in the hereafter, then at that time, there'll be big, big regret. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me such a great thing, the heart, the qalb, and I couldn't understand the heart. The awliya Allah, the pious people, the mashayikh, the teachers, the shuyukh, this is what they invite people towards. The awliya Allah, they do da'wah, they invite people for this point. And maybe from thousands, a few accept the invitation. And this is the sunnah of da'wah, the work of propagation of deen. But Allah Ta'ala has given such a system for the tarbiyah of the human being. First, the prophets used to come, they used to give da'wah. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam gave more than 900 years of da'wah. But how many people listened? How many people believed? How many people accepted? But the silsila, the chain of the prophets, didn't finish. The next prophet came, and Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself came and gave da'wah. How many people were with him? And there was just one woman, Hazrat Khatija radiyallahu anha. And in this way, she had a love for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She used to say with pride. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say that this is that woman who gave me assistance, and she was at my side at that time when nobody was with me. I remember an event with regards to the love and muhabbat. Maybe I've told you this before. That when it was the time when Hazrat Khadija radiyallahu anha was ill, severely ill, and she was lying down on the bed, and her four daughters were called, and she said, "Call Baba, and call your father, and that give me his cloak, that the cloak that you put around you, that blanket, give it to me." So Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and said, "Khadija, what's the matter? Why are you asking for my cloak, for my sheet?" She said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now I'm getting a yaqeen and certainty that I'm not going to stay alive. Maut is going to come, isn't it? Death. And I desire that my kafan, my sheet, which I'm buried in, it should be your sheet that you wear." Ah, Allahu Akbar. What is the answer that Rasulullah gave? He became emotional and said, "Khadija, what are you saying? You are only asking for my sheet, my cloak? Even if you ask me for everything, then I would even take off, I would take off the skin to give it if I had to." And this was the love and the connection between Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Rasulullah was very proud of his wife, that she assisted him sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the times of hardship. So in tabligh, Allah Ta'ala in the Quran has given the direction, the guidance, and even Allah Ta'ala gave encouragement to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that don't worry, you continue to give da'wah, whether anybody accepts or not, believes or not. But if the da'wah is haq and it's true and it's honest, then it will have an effect. It will have an effect. So this is what will stay the style until the Day of Judgment. The friends of Allah, they call in the same way. Their mission is one. The walis of Allah, their da'wah and the style of giving da'wah, they have one objective: to give the islah, to rectify the batin of the people. And this is a very great ni'mah and gift of Allah. And the person who has the fadl of Allah upon him, he understands that when I see this gathering and I say, Subhanallah, that Allah, that within the jungles, Allah Ta'ala, within the dense jungle, Allah allows a rose flower to sprout forth. And here we have Qihatul Rujjal, we have the drought nowadays, we have total, you can say, wilderness. Who listens today? Who is interested today? And you're sitting here, as much as you know this much, alhamdulillah, the thing that I keep on emphasizing, that we are coming for our islah, to rectify our hearts. This is your niyyah, isn't it? So that's what we're sati for. And this is the kamal of accepting this da'wah. The beautiful result of accepting this invitation. Look how Allah Ta'ala will love you, individuals. Now, and we have, you know, a bit of determination and effort and courage. And what a great result. We've seen the dunya, that the adverts come here, the masjid, this is happening in the masjid, this is happening in this masjid. Alhamdulillah, these are good things. People go, they sit down, they listen. But that's their taste. But mashallah, what is your taste? Alhamdulillah, that this is the gathering of dhikr and you come running to the dhikr gathering. Alhamdulillah. So we've even forgotten about the thawab. We've forgotten about thawab, reward. And we just want that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with us. This is it, isn't it? Alhamdulillah. This is Allah's fadl. And this is the fadl and the grace and mercy that the invitation of my sheikh, his da'wah, is being accepted. May Allah Ta'ala allow this to continue. May Allah Ta'ala in this same way allow us to get to the akhirah. But remember one point. The Quran gives the good news that never you or me, I'm with you. We will never be empty-handed, inshallah, with Allah Ta'ala's fadl. Very big point this is. Very big point. So as I was saying, that for giving the da'wah about islah of the qalb, people say, you're mad, what are you talking about? I've got a pain in my eyes, in my stomach. Talk about that. I've got pain in the kidney. I've got heart issue. What's this rectification of the heart, purification of the heart? Nobody understands this. What's this? What sort of disease is this that you have to do islah, rectify and purify the heart and make it good? I don't understand this, people say. So, this is the summary of the Quran, that the whole of the success of a person's deen depends on his heart and the purity of his or her heart. If the heart is correct, then the whole deen is correct. If the heart gets spoiled, then the whole deen gets spoiled. And then the loss in the hereafter, the loss you cannot imagine, nor can I imagine. Nor can I imagine. So we're so extremely grateful Allah has given us a bit of understanding. And we are striving for this and making effort. Inshallah, the result will come out. So inshallah, in the hereafter, we won't be with those people who will regret this, that we did not pay attention to our heart and we didn't understand that. We've understood, haven't we? That from the heart comes success. The condition of the heart. So from the biggest ni'mas, a person is devoid. He loses. I'll give you an example as we go along. For example, you have the earth, and it is hard. It is hard, rocky, yeah, very stiff and hard. And it's at a loss, isn't it, that land, that earth, because the earth next to it, that's fertile, and it's allowing vegetables and fruits or whatever come out. And there, where it's barren and dry, they're just spiders. So the land next door, you got cane, sugar cane, mango trees, and the land next door is just solid with dust and dirt and just weeds and spiders. So there are two earth pieces of earth next to each other. One is giving produce and benefit and the other is giving nothing, waste. Why? Because the earth that's giving benefit has been purified and this other earth next to it hasn't. So in the same way, the heart that is pure, then Allah Ta'ala's tajalliyat and Allah Ta'ala's deen and Allah's glory and Allah's power is recognized by the heart, because the heart is such a thing that you will observe, subhanAllah, a person when he looks, for example, through a telescope, and he looks at the sun or the stars, etc. So what does that person observe? The same way that the heart observes the tajalliyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no limit. Direct Allah Ta'ala's ni'mas descend onto a person, on his body. The first thing that happens is that Allah Ta'ala's rahmah that descends, it doesn't come on anything. Allah Ta'ala's rahmah, mercy descends within, into that organ which is within the body, within the flesh, between the ribs, inside the body. Allah's rahmah. And today, if we do the islah of our hearts, then just like the earth gives off produce and good things, in the same way the anwarat and the nur and the light and the deen and Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat will come out from the heart. And this happens in the world. Not just one. There are hundreds of thousands of people Allah Ta'ala created, sent His walis, they were born before, they are here now, and they will keep coming. That's their sift, their quality. That, subhanAllah, the heart, when the islah is implemented, then that heart gives off good benefit. But us, people like us who are lost in the dunya, our hearts are hard and without waste and nonsense, we will give benefit like that to other people. In the same way you have wilderness and barren land, in the same way the hearts that have no objective, no maqsad, and after death it's just dirt and soil. How sad. How sad. So it's very important. Allah's ni'mas, and from all of Allah's ni'mas, so many ni'mas descend on the heart of a person. One ni'mah I'll tell you about. Pay attention. That the person whose heart attains islah, rectification, Allah Ta'ala says that this is a great ni'mah. I'll talk about one ni'mah, one treasure and gift from Allah, not the many, many, many. And it's a great, great ni'mah. It is such a gift of Allah that there's a hadith in Tirmidhi. Has Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, narrates this hadith. And he states in this hadith that this is such a great name of Allah that that individual cannot ever go into hellfire. And what is the example that's given in the hadith? That the example of that person is like that, you know, when the milk comes out of the udder and it cannot go back into the udder. It's impossible, isn't it, to go back into the cow. In the same way, if you attain this ni'mah, you can never go into hellfire. A brilliant example, eh? That if a person gets the rectification of the heart, then he gets this ni'mah. He gets this ni'mah. Look at this point. And there's another hadith, Tirmidhi hadith, as Abu Umama radiallahu anhu narrates about this ni'mah, this treasure of Allah, is such a ni'mah regarding the purity of the heart, whether a sister or a brother or a woman or a man, if they attain purity in the heart, islah in the heart, then the name of that ni'mah is that all of the things that you like, Allah Ta'ala says that from all the things I like most the person who has taken this ni'mah, who has attained this ni'mah, and that's the most beneficial thing and the thing that's preferred by Allah, that the ni'mah you get after you purify heart. I haven't even come to the ni'mah yet, that the person who attains that ni'mah. Now you tell me that if Allah Ta'ala likes this the most, then if this action Allah Ta'ala likes the most, and this state of the purity of the heart Allah likes the most, then the reward will be the best in the hereafter, won't it? There will be the compensation. So what's the condition? Who gets this ni'mah? The person whose heart is correct, who's made effort on his heart, purified the heart, corrected the heart, taken out the disease from the heart. The amount we make effort on the heart, we don't attain nothing. Apart from, for a few days that we live, we get a little bit of ease. A little bit of ease we'll get according to our desires. But apart from that, nothing else we will attain. But the person, the insan, who for the sake of the hereafter makes effort on his heart, then what will he get in comparison to this world? Much, much more, beyond imagination. The more that we make effort for this world, we need to make 10 times or more, much, much more over multiply effort for the hereafter. And we need to do islah and rectify our hearts, purify our hearts. This is what we understand from the Quran, the hadith, the pious predecessors, that only one thing gives islah of the heart. And when the heart is rectified, purified, only that heart can understand the Quran. Only that heart can pray salah. Only that heart can do tasbih. Only that heart can do umrah. And only that heart can do hajj. What can an insan, human being do? It's the heart that does everything. There's a difference, isn't it? You will see this, that there are two men going on hajj. There's a difference between both of them. A difference between both of them. Look at the statement, the hadith of Rasulullah about hajj and umrah. That one person came, this is a hadith, and he stood in front of the Kaaba. In the house of Allah, and he came from far. He's tired, torn clothes, hair disheveled, and tired, exhausted, sweating. People are looking at him. Oh, subhanAllah, he's immersed in the love of Allah. He's come, he's tired, he's come from so far, he's in a rough state. And he stands in front of the Kaaba with his hands raised, he's doing dua, praying. And Rasulullah said, what do you think about this person's dua? Ya Rasulullah, if Allah Ta'ala won't listen to his dua, who will Allah Ta'ala listen to? He's come to the Kaaba, he's tired, broken down, his body exhausted, and he's got his hands raised, and he's given everything, he's given all his efforts for Allah Ta'ala of this journey. Allah's Nabi stated that his dua is not ascending above his head. It doesn't go beyond his head. He's a box, an empty yellow box. Why? Because his qalb was not rectified. Why? Because his heart was not pure. And the food that we used to go into his stomach was not halal, it was haram. He was not careful for this because he had not made his heart. So he's not doing the heart from the umrah from the heart. He went to do it from the body. When we come to pray salah, we present ourselves physically to Allah. What will have that effect? But the person who prays with the heart, look at the effect, the result. Do you understand what I'm saying? So islah, rectification, is the heart that prays, not the body. It's the heart that prostrates, not the body. It's the heart that does the tasbih in the ruku, in the sujood, in the prostration. Those prostrations and ruku, bowing, qiyam, standing, which is with the heart. And it then even puts the body below it, and then that salah floats to the heavens and it takes the shape, and the angels come and they take it to the heavens to Allah. And when will this happen? When a person makes effort on his heart. And the person who's made effort on his heart, rectified his heart, then islah, will he eat haram? Will he say, let me go, from which mouth shall I go to the Kaaba? How can I stay there? How can I go to the Rawda Mubarak in this state? How can I raise my hands and do dua? But one insan, if he has the islah, rectification of the heart, he is so ashamed. But the person, that a person who has not got islah of the heart, he does not even feel ashamed of going in front of his Rabb, his Lord, in front of the Kaaba or the Rawda Mubarak, because he has not rectified and corrected his heart. He doesn't have the islah, he's not pure, he doesn't realize where am I going, whose court am I going to. And this is Allah Ta'ala who says, that this is not a small thing that we go to Allah Ta'ala's home, the Kaaba, and we say Allahu Akbar. This is the same maqam, the same place that a person, for example, when he stands in salah, he goes in front of the Kaaba. Such a great place. How sad and shameful a person standing in salah, and he comes to Allah. Even if you're not at the Kaaba or the Rawda Mubarak, when you're praying salah, you say Allahu Akbar, you are presenting yourself to Allah, and you're talking to Allah. And just think that you're in front of the Kaaba, and if Allah wanted, the Kaaba would come in vision to you. When you pray salah, wherever you are, you will see the Kaaba, inshallah, one day as well, if you are pure. It will not happen. If you say, my face is towards the Kaaba, then you are in front of the Kaaba. Otherwise, you can be sitting here. You can physically be sitting there. With so many walls between us and the ocean and the miles, so much of a journey. So what does this mean that I say, Allah, I'm praying this salah with my face towards the Kaaba? So if you are sincere and clean heart, then Allah Ta'ala will say, you will see the vision of the Kaaba. Many pious predecessors, their stories tell us this. Don't we understand this? So this is the difference here. That there's one person who has the purity of heart and he does the actions. One is a person who implements actions physically with the body. The person who implements deen with his heart, depth of heart and sincerity, he will get the massive, massive effect and reward. And Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the Sahaba there and then to understand the reality that Allah Ta'ala has told us how Allah Ta'ala wants us to travel and live. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Allah wants to bring us to this path. So, this is the tariqah, the methodology. Not that tariqah that we learn deen and we start to do dhulm on our body and we commit excesses and do wrong actions. No, before we come to Allah Ta'ala's presence, we need to work on our heart. Kasrat kathiran kathira, effort and struggle. Because ibadah and worship that physically we're going to do with our body and hearts, this is nothing small. The five faraid, they are so powerful in their effect. Spiritually, if we fulfill them in the correct way, we wouldn't even have time to run after nafil and voluntary actions. This is how a person becomes immersed in Allah Ta'ala's deen. But because it's not with the heart, we don't know about the taste, we don't know the enjoyment of salah, we don't know how to prostrate, we don't know about the emotion of prostration, we don't know about qiraat, recitation of how to stand in qiyam, we don't know how to read Quran, how to listen to the Quran. And all of these things are like this. All of these great, great treasures that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, Quran. Great treasure Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Such a great kitab, such a great force, the Quran. The Quran was revealed on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam absorbed the Quran. But what was his feeling? That when the Quran was revealed, so beautiful and enjoyment, that what is this Quran that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say to his sahaba, you read the Quran. Have you heard this till today? That, subhanAllah, I'm telling you, an event that we have learnt, and higher than this, you will have heard these things, but for your enjoyment and encouragement, I'm telling you this. Hazrat Ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu anhu, what was he told? That, O Ibn Mas'ud, that today you read the Quran to me. He said, O Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I recite the Quran to you. You are the Quran was revealed to you, and I read to you. And Rasulullah said, I feel like I want to hear you read Quran to me. That's my heart feels. Now tell me, what is that enjoyment of the Quran? Because there's so much enjoyment and taste in every act of worship. Salah has a beautiful, unique worship and taste. And enjoyment. And reading Quran gives a great enjoyment. And a person cannot think about the taste when a person reads Quran sincerely. So Rasulullah said, O Abdullah bin Mas'ud, you read Salah, a Quran for me. And he recited Surah Nisa. When he was reciting, and he saw that Rasulullah's blessed face was totally full of tears and wet. And this was the enjoyment of the Quran. The enjoyment and the taste of the Quran was shown. This is one thing. And here, Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'b, radiyallahu anhu, who was the master of Quran, hafidh of Quran, qari, his qiraat was famous, his recitation. Hazrat ibn Ka'b, radiyallahu anhu, you will have heard his name. Ulama akram scholars are sitting here. And listen about his event. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say to him? And today, it wasn't told to him that you read Quran to me. Rather, what is happening? That, O Ka'b, yes, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala has now just to me given me a message. Huh? Message? Yes. What message, O Rasulullah? Listen, what is the beautiful, unique message that Rasulullah got? And Rasulullah said, I was given a message by Allah that Ka'ab, tell Ka'ab, read Quran to Ka'ab. Subhanallah. So, to Ka'ab, to the Sahabi, when he heard this, that these are two unique things. One, Allah Ta'ala is saying to who? to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that read the Quran. That in other words, he's listening from the Sahaba. But here, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam being told by Allah that you recite the Quran to Ka'b. Imagine the love in the heart of Ka'b, the love he had for the Quran. Imagine, feel this point for a moment. Take the taste from this. So when Ka'b radiallahu anhu heard the Quran from Rasulullah, he was in shock. Just like Musa alayhi salam was lost in Tur, he was lost in a trance. And he was emotional and crying. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanallah, this was nur ala nur. Here, that he was in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Oh, Ka'b, what's happened?" And they haven't even started. They haven't even gone into the verses. What's happened? What were the verses? It's coming out of my mind. The verses now. It will come inshallah, and then I'll tell you that verse. That this is the verse that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited. And Allah told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that read these verses. Yes. So then, what happened? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "What is the issue, Ka'b?" And as Ka'b radiallahu said, "Ya Rasulullah, Allah has mentioned my name. Allah has mentioned my name, subhanAllah, what a massive thing." And Rasulullah said, "Allah gave your name, how?" That Allah said, "Ka'b, tell Ka'b and recite to Ka'b the Quran." Amazing treasure, ni'mah of Allah. And is there no taste in Quran enjoyment? We read it morning, evening, we listen to it. We don't enjoy listening to it or reading it. What's the reason? Islah of the qalb. Rectification of the heart. We need this. So this is the ni'mah. And I've told you these two examples. What is the ni'mah that we don't get commonly? When you get it is when the heart is made. When the heart is made, the ni'mah comes. And regards this is a big hadith. And what is that ni'mah? When the heart is made, then the ni'mah of Allah comes. What is that ni'mah? That gift, that treasure from Allah? Crying. Where the heart cries. When the tears come out of the eyes. When the heart feels emotion and riqqat comes onto the heart. When the heart feels that deep emotion, then the tears come onto the eyes. When the heart is made. So the heart, which is pure and clean, translates its condition, emotion, to the tears in the eyes. And the tears drop in the eyes. Then that person, he is in a really beautiful state. The heart is so soft at that time that here the recitation hasn't even started and the tears come out of the eyes. This is a big, big ni'mah. That from the tears of a person, from the eyes of a person, the tears emanate. And how great a ni'mah is this? Allah Ta'ala says that person cannot go into hellfire. That person who cries, from whose eyes the tears come, roll out onto his cheeks for the sake of Allah. The person cries for the sake of Allah, then what happens? Such a person, those tears will not allow that person to go into hellfire. It is impossible for that person to go into hellfire. Just like the milk that comes out of the udder of the cow cannot reverse its direction and go back into the cow. Yes, understand the example? So what a great fruit to correct the heart. And then imagine the rewards when the heart is corrected. So this is the massive state. And when do we get this? Islah of the qalb. Rectifying the heart. Purifying the heart. Cleaning the heart. And as soon as we do this, then the tears come to the eyes. Then we don't know who is reading, what is being recited. Alhamdulillah, standing in Fajr. Imam Sahib has started recitation. And hasn't even started. And doesn't have to have rhythmical tones and melody. No, the Quran has its own rhythm. The Quran has its own rhythm and melody and beauty of recitation. Today, for example, somebody recited the Quran. Qari Sahib was in the Salah. He came from Mecca. And he led the Salah. And I became emotional. And my emotion changed. And I went and said to my son, I said, "What did the Imam pray? Recite? You were probably there, Juma. What did he recite?" First, he was the person from Mecca. And he lived in Mecca. He was introduced and praised. And mashallah, obviously, when an introduction is made, then the person, you know, for example, he's being praised, I'm being told I'm good and I have to lead the salah. So obviously, a person, then he'll have to read and think of what I'm going to recite, something long. Otherwise, what will people say? There'll be no recognition, isn't it? This makes sense, doesn't it? When somebody's introduced, then he feels afraid that I've got to read good and that. Subhanallah, but mashallah, he was a great individual and I enjoyed it. That what did he do? He gave the answer for all these things and thoughts. The first verse, the first surah, the first rak'ah was Alam Nashrah Laka Sadrak. And the second rak'ah was La'ila Fi Quraysh, or was it Surah Fil? Alam Tara Kayfa Fa'ala Rabbuka. Isn't it? Yeah, La'ila Fi Quraysh, Surah Quraysh. And Tarannum, melody, no melody. total, straightforward, clear. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Maliki, Yawmiddin. He didn't try to become Sudais or Shareem or whatever other things, like people try to become other things, nothing. And that enjoyment, I say that you cannot imagine. You cannot imagine that I'm saying this clearly. Why? Because the biggest strength that was in his recitation, that his heart, he had islah. Definitely he had, his heart was rectified, because he had no riya, no pride. Otherwise, if he had pride, I've seen very few people that come to this stage and where they don't demonstrate their skills. Otherwise, everyone shows his skill. The thing that he's praised and introduced about, he shows his strength. Okay, I'm going to recite Quran in a beautiful way. I'll read Quran like they do in Makkah, so people will know that I'm from Makkah. No, he just read Quran plain, that I'm a talib ilm, I'm a student. Alam nashrah, I know Surah Quraysh, and I don't know more than this. He didn't want to demonstrate. What is this the sign of? Sincerity in his heart was made, is made. When the heart of a person is made, I've told you both hadith, and where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, the Quran was recited to him, and secondly, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the Quran to the Sahabi Hazrat Ka'b radhiyallahu anhu. Because the Quran is such a great ni'mah, there's no greater rhythm than the rhythm and the melody of the Quran. And we hear and we like and we enjoy when someone says, oh, he's recited Quran nicely. I will say today that this individual did beautiful recitation, no tarannum, no rhythm, no melody, but the enjoyment I got today, I didn't get anywhere else before that. So it's proven that the Quran has its own impact and result, and its own melody and rhythm, inherent, natural. When a person reads Quran like this, whose islah has been made of his heart, then he gives enjoyment to other people. So my brothers, this is a great ni'mah that Allah Ta'ala has given, the islah of the heart, which creates the tears that roll out of the eyes. Person's praying salah, going into prostration, the heart is turned to Allah, focused on Allah, paying attention to Allah, and this is called when the heart becomes tender and soft, and the tears roll out of the eyes. As Anas radiyallahu anhu, there's a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim. Look at the color and the form and the practice of the Sahaba. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was present and gave the khutbah, the sermon. And as Anas radiyallahu anhu stated that before this, I never had a khutbah like this. Now tell me, imagine this khutbah. This has Anas radiyallahu anhu said that this was such a khutbah sermon. Before today, I never had a khutbah from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam like this, that today Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to us and what he told us. And what was this point? That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came onto the minbar, onto the pulpit, and said, oh my companions, the things that I know, if you were to know, the things that I know, if you were to know these things, if you knew, or if you were to know, then very seldom would you laugh and you would cry a lot. And that's all that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And this was such a deep impact statement. This doesn't have an effect on us, does it? But look at the condition of the hearts. What happened there? That all of the companions who were there in that gathering, as Anas radiyallahu anhu stated, that everybody put their mouth, their faces into their sheets, and they started to shriek and cry, and the noise was in the whole of the Masjid Nabawi, and all of the Sahaba started to cry and sob. Aha. Imagine how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this, that you would forget crying, laughing, and you would cry immensely if you knew what I know. And our situation today, that on serious points we laugh, we joke in the masjid, joke in the khankas, we laugh and jest. Wherever we, you won't see the seriousness, because the heart's not made. The heart isn't crying. Otherwise, two words Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in his blessed statement. That's all he said. And the Sahaba ikram, the noble companions, hid their faces in the sheets. They were crying, shrieking, sobbing. In Masjid Nabawi, you could hear them. Here we can hear the whole Quran and Surah Yasin, Surah Rahman, and it has no impact on us, no difference. And the Quran, it corrects a person, tells a person, explains to a person. And what is within the Quran? Inherently within the Quran. And the Quran in Salah, we pray Quran. We pray and recite the Quran in the Salah, in different ways. So at least we should have some recognition and appreciation that the Quran doesn't impact us. It may not be there on the Day of Judgment when we rise up, that we rise up in our, with hard hearts. Allah will say that you came with such a piece of organ in your body, it's wild, it's barren, infertile, and there's no vegetable, no vegetation, no produce, no fruit that you allowed your heart to grow to give you benefit. So it's very essential, critical for us to clean the heart. And we can tell within a minute that what's the situation of my heart. My eyes will tell me. My eyes will tell me. The eyes will tell us. Let we see that there was a generation, a time, that Hazrat Fadl Ali Qureshi Rahmatullahi, who is my Sheikh, And in my Hazrat Khan Khan, today's drought and poverty, spiritually I'm speaking. And I saw such a great generation with the Darvish that in the night time, in the last third portion of the night, in Indian Pakistan I'm speaking, what used to happen is that Allahu Akbar, all of the Darvish, the people who are close to Allah, you could hear nobody talking, chitcha. Everybody's got their blanket wrapped around them, extremely cold, winter time. One person's in this corner, that corner, and this part, and this stuff, and everybody's praying and sitting. You have yaqeen, certainty that you could hear sobbing and shrieking, sincerity, sorrow and grief in the heart. From every corner of the khanqah, you could hear sobbing, shrieking out and crying. Somebody's emotional. The whole khanqah is full of the sobbing, crying. It's Fajr time. And Hazrat would come to the gathering and remember this point, that Allah's wali is such a sign of Allah, about which that when a person, if he sees a wali of Allah and he cannot cry, then consider his heart is not soft. His heart is not soft. Brothers, the friend of Allah, the love of the wali of Allah, the love of the wali of Allah is the love for Allah himself. Because to love a wali of Allah is to love Allah himself. And if a person doesn't have love and regard and emotion due to seeing the wali of Allah, then how can he love in the emotion and the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The wali of Allah is the sign of Allah. He is the sign. He is a link, the connection to Allah. And you can take this example from the dunya, the world. So you'll understand this, that you have a child, and maybe you have a child, and your grandchildren, for example, they will come to your house. And when the little children come, 3 years old, 2 years old, 4 years old, and after they come, when they depart, by chance, that child, for example, his sweater or jumper is left back, or shoes or some item of clothing is left back, you'll see in the morning, and then you'll smile and you'll laugh. And some people, they take that item of clothing and kiss it or touch it, embrace it. It's only a piece of cloth, but because you love the child, then you like the clothes of that child. Subhanallah, isn't it? And this is the sign of that child. In the same way, Allahu Akbar, that in the Ghumbad-e-Khizra, when you see the green dome, why do you feel the coolness? Because it's linked to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So why do we speak about Ghumbad-e-Khizra, the green dome in Masjid al-Nabwi? Because we love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it's linked. In the Kaaba, what is in the Hajar al-Aswad? It's a stone, but it's linked to Allah. So everything that's linked to Allah, and a person whose heart, alhamdulillah, is clean and pure, then he goes and immerses himself in that great thing that Allah Ta'ala has given. So he's not unconscious in seeing the Kaaba. He's unconscious because he's seen the sign of Allah. Like I say about Hazrat, my Shaykh, what was it? The Hazrat all night long would sit in front of the Kaaba and look at it. We couldn't see anything. What could he see, and what enjoyment was he getting? Because he used to see beyond the stone and the structure of the Kaaba. Do you understand? The reason, because he had made effort on his heart. As a Fadl Ali Qureshi, rahmatullah, he had sat with him. He used to sit with him. All his life he had spent with him. Long journeys, walking on foot. And not like this with hunger and poverty. He used to go to travel and learn the name of Allah. We go in our cars and nice and warmth. We eat and we have a cup of tea. And we come, we have nice a warm masjid and we're sitting and we make fuss and we sit down. We're looking somewhere else and we're fussing. This is our style. But this is the reward that those people who used to sit all night long in the khanqah, they would not eat or drink. Lives of hunger and thirst, because their hearts have been rectified and they used to take the enjoyment of the Kaaba, of the house of Allah. And these are the genuine walis of Allah, because they struggled and strived and made effort, and such an effort, they left everything, 200 miles, 150 miles, they used to walk just to go on a Thursday night to take part in the majlis, the gathering of their sheikh. And after the gathering would finish, they would depart from there, and Hazrat would stay. That sometimes would happen in the night, in such a part of the night, I would reach to my sheikhs, and that time food had finished. Then the next day, we had to wait and stay hungry until the next evening. That is when we would get the gathering of Hazrat. So my sheikh is telling me that I used to go to my sheikh, to visit my sheikh, and I'd get there late in the night, I'd miss out on the food, and then I'd be hungry for 2 days. But when I'd see the blessed face of my Hazrat, I'd forget all of my hunger. All of my hunger. And this is what I'm telling you about myself. So tired I'd be when I'd get there, and when Hazrat Garami Qadar Rahmatullah would come, my eyes, the tears would come. What was this feeling? This was the reality. The islah of the heart was being made. The heart was being rectified and cleaned. And to see the face of Hazrat, this is to see the sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is the reflection of the love for Allah. Just like I gave the example, that when you see the clothes of your grandchildren or the Ghumbad Khizra, when you see it, when a person looks at it, he feels enjoyment. And he keeps on wanting to see it time and time again. Why? And in the night he wants to see it because he has a link with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And everything of Masjid al-Nabawi, you like it, you love it, you think you have high regard for it because it has a link with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this nisbat we have, that the wali of Allah, to see the wali of Allah is the reflection of the love of Allah. We think we do two tasbih and our heart will be pure, brothers. Allah Ta'ala's tajalliyat is not that cheap. This is the path, and it's coming from inside. Whoever you want to attain, you want is salah, hajj, umrah, Quran, you want enjoyment from all of these things, then you need to get it from the depths of the heart, from within yourself. Allah Ta'ala has prepared from within for this to be attained. Am I right or am I wrong? Am I right? Am I just speaking empty, hollow words, or do you understand what I'm saying? So we have to attain from within. We get it from inside. If we've made effort, if we don't make effort on our heart, then what will happen? The whole dunya, we see there's a gathering. People are sitting. They're sitting for the sake of Islam in the house of Allah, in the majlis. And this happens. Allah Ta'ala creates His servants, human beings. He brings them. But there's still something missing. There shouldn't be anything missing. The Allah Ta'ala's name we should grab with the conviction and with strength. And we should never leave it. We should never leave it. As long if the heart is not rectified, if the tears are not coming out of the eyes, then Islam has not been done. When we have a link with the sheikh, with the teacher, and we learn. So if we, the heart, the tears are coming out of the eyes, and the heart is soft and tender and sincerity, and you listen to the teacher and you listen to the words of Allah, and the heart is soft and tender. We get up in the night and we sleep. When all this, subhanAllah, somebody said this in a verse that they used to see in the khanqah. Why are people crying? Because the khanqah, the link of the khanqah was with Hazrat, with the Shaykh, and the Shaykh's nisbat is with Allah. So they were immersed in the love of Allah. When they would depart, their hearts were full. And they'd wrap their cloaks and their blankets around them. And I'm talking about the night of Thursday. They would spend the night of Thursday in their Sheikh's Khanka. They do maraqabah and dhikr. Dhikr, we do totally that same dhikr. What are the dhikr? The Naqshbandi dhikr that we do. Hazrat told me this, and he told me to go and teach this and do this. So brothers, these are big na'amas. We waste them. So today the na'amah that I've told you, that my heart felt, I explained to you about the emotion in the heart, to get the tears in the eyes. At least sometime that our heart should feel deep emotion and crying. The heart and the eyes should cry. And I should feel that my heart is soft and tender, and I've got khawf and fear. The softness of the heart, you speak about, hear about the walis of Allah, your heart starts to cry, your eyes cry. You hear about your shaykh, your tears start to cry. You hear about the Quran and the sunnah. So that's why I stated that you should love your shaykh. And I'll tell you the secret behind this. In reality, otherwise, why does a wali of Allah need his students to love him? And I've heard these from the great sheikhs. As a Thanwi, rahmatullah, did he need people to love him? So why did he mention this? That this is the center point of tasawwuf. As a Thanwi, rahmatullah, stated that tasawwuf, the science of getting close to Allah, near to Allah, the center point is what? Hubbe sheikh. Love with the sheikh. And the more love you have with the sheikh, the more the path will open up for you. So such a great statement. And a person like me who's empty, void, you say, oh, he's greedy, he's playing games, he's trying to earn dunya, he's inviting to himself. This is the problem nowadays, isn't it? Though people say, oh, look at him. He said that, oh, love the sheikh, and this is the fatwa he's calling and inviting to his name and his personality. But this is the pivotal point of tasawwuf. Yeah? So it's not me who's sitting saying this is the greatest mashaykh, and this is the first lesson of Naqshbandi silsila, which is fanaful sheikh. To love the sheikh, you have so much love for the sheikh, for your teacher, so much love that when you stand in front of the mirror, then you shouldn't see your face, you should see the face of your teacher. I can show you this as a Thanwi rahmatullah alayhi, I'm telling you. The maqam comes, and he said this, didn't he? This rank and status will come. That a person is so fana in the love of his teacher, whether it's a woman or a man, everyone has a love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everyone loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so much love, so much that when you stand in front of the mirror and you see the sheikh, hazrat's come. What's this? And this occurs. That he sees the whole image of the sheikh. Walking, talking, the form, the habits, the emotions, totally. And the person says, huh? This is a person who's like his sheikh. He walks like his sheikh. He speaks like the sheikh. He styles like the sheikh. Because love is such a thing. It has an effect. Then the heart is rectified. The color of the deen comes in. Sibghat Allah. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran. Allah Ta'ala says the color of Allah. And this is no example. And this is the color that comes onto a person. The example, the mannerism, the habits. And he reaches close to Allah. So this is the center point of the success of the student. There's so much the student should have love for the sheikh. From his company, from his sohbet. And love is one thing. And by force is another thing. These are two separate things. So, These paths open up when a person does islah of the heart. Rectifies heart. We need to make effort on our hearts, my friends. This is the secret to success of the hereafter. And the greatest success will be due to the emotion and the cleanliness of the heart. If the heart opens up, ma'rifah will come, nearness of Allah will come, tears will come out of the eyes, and the tongue is silent. You stop laughing, and just a few little things, we just laugh loudly. Ah! In the masjids we hear, in the mimbers, people laughing like this openly. Tell me, is this the deen of Islam? That so simply and easily, and a person when he goes to a place of sincerity and humbleness, he's opening his mouth, showing his teeth, and roaring out with laughter. And the hearts are dark. And Rasulullah ﷺ told us that if what I know, if you were to know what I know, then you would stop and forget laughing, and without crying, you would do nothing else. Nothing else. So let's understand our lives, make the objective and the focus. And we should pass our lives in such a way that alhamdulillah, we need to understand that let's not waste time. Let's make our time valuable, and so valuable. And we should have this basis of understanding that do as much effort the amount we're going to live here. We should make effort for the world as much as we're going to live here. Remember this point. And make effort for the hereafter, the amount of time we're going to live there. And what we want to attain from Allah. Allah Ta'ala will give us everything. All of it's been given to us. There's one path, great path, Allah Ta'ala's name. And when you keep on saying Allah's name, repeating His name, doing dhikr of His name, Allah, 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 and keep making effort on your heart, keep on making effort, 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 and the path will open up automatically. To this extent, there's so much the heart should cry, and have softness and tenderness, and the tears should cry. I've seen such ashiks, such lovers, such ashiks. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name was mentioned, and he starts sobbing, crying. I would say, how is it that you cry? Then suddenly he'd start crying. I said, tell me, Hazrat, how does this occur? That I just spoke to you about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You started to cry and sob. Wallahi, he used to sob and cry. Suddenly he'd start crying. His beard would be wet. And now he's not here in the dunya, poor soul. And he was a great ashik, a lover, and his heart was made. And as soon as I'd say the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would start to cry. Emotion, tears out of his eyes. And then upon that crying, I would continue and complete my statement. Now, what's the difference between my heart and his heart? Isn't there? There is. So why don't I cry upon hearing that name? Why don't we cry when we see the Kaaba? Why don't we cry when we have these physical positions where we go to and see things? Why don't we cry when we hear good things? Why don't we cry when we hear Rasulullah's name? We want to attain this destination. We have to, okay? Have determination and courage that we want to get to this destination. To this point, we're not going to stop. Allah Ta'ala has made us come to here. We have to promise ourselves that we are not going to stop. We have to reach to this destination. With regards to that, I've spoke to you. We should have himmat, courage, determination. Allah Ta'ala's rahmah then descends. So whoever, those obstacles, restrictions that come, remove them, put them out of the way. And shaitan is the one who comes mostly. He's the one who puts the barriers and haram, wasteful activities, or break his obstacles and hurdles and say, there's a destination I can see far away and I want to attain that. And every single second I'm thinking about that, and no way can I fail in this, and inshallah we will reach there. And not we have to waste our lives. We're not from those people who live their life without maqsad, objective, that he has no objective, no mission. No end point. No, we don't want to live our lives like this. We want to attain the objective of life, that we want to attain Allah's love in such a way that every second our heart cries and our eyes cry. Our heart cries and our eyes cry. When we read Quran, we cry. When we read Hadith, we cry. When we read Dhikr, we cry. And our heart should be like this, not hard. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you the tawfiq. Ameen.